day, a busy beaver can shift 10 times its own body weight, a total of around 200 kilograms. The beavers excavate the bed of their new pond, making it deeper and using the mud like mortar to plug any holes in the wall. Powered by strong hind legs and chunky forearms, they pat, push and compress the dam to make it watertight. As the dam becomes leak-proof, the water level rises upstream, and the beaver crew continue to bulldoze in new layers of material.
The voice of David Attenborough. Watching beavers arrange themselves into a team of dam builders is a truly wondrous thing. They appoint a foreman and can build as much as a metre and a half dam each day, not stopping till they have completely blocked the river. In fact, the longest recorded dam stood at 1.5 kilometres. Wild beavers were reintroduced to Argyll in Scotland in 2009 after 400 years of extinction in the hope that they can improve the water systems there. We have never had them in Ireland. But would they, I wonder, be a good idea? Anna, we're talking beavers on the show today because you got an email from a gentleman who thinks beavers would be a great addition.
That's right, Nicholas Grubb. He lives in Castle Grace on the River Tar, which is a tributary of the Shure. And there's a mill there and a turbine and a mill race, and the Grubb family would be well known in Ireland in that area for their, you know, because they've owned this mill for a long time. And he was maintaining in the olden days that the tenants used to keep all the banks cut, so his grandfather told him, but the days of tenants and working have long since departed. And he was saying, as a consequence, the rivers have become overgrown, we've got flooding downriver, all the rest of it, and that if we could actually introduce beavers, they would do the work, they would cause dams, the water would be retained further up the river, it would stop flooding, it would increase the biodiversity, and it's the way to go. And so he wrote to me suggesting that this would be a good idea. They've brought them back, as you know, into Scotland, because they were actually native in Britain and they were made extinct in Scotland around 1600, I think. And they recently have been brought back. No, they were never in Ireland. So there would be a foreign species being brought in here. But he was suggesting, well, it might be a good idea. So I sent this email on to Ken Whelan, my
Johnny Giles
himself, yes. And said,
what do you think
of this? And I nearly heard the explosion in my house whenever Ken got the email, because it wasn't exactly what Ken had in mind for a river, was it, Ken?
No, not at all. No.
So are you, well, obviously, are you for or against? And obviously you're against, so explain.
First of all, having lived through years of the debate over aquaculture, let me say that I have fished with beavers, I've camped with beavers and so on in North America. They are the most gorgeous, adorable little creatures. And in their own location, they're fantastic and they're very important to the ecology. The problem is, it's, to use a dreadful pun, it's a fish out of water here, in the sense that in Canada in particular, where I've seen them in action, the species of fish and so on that are there have adapted wonderfully to the beaver ponds. Little fish like brook trout and so on, which love ponds. They love slow, deep water. Whereas our main problem, our main concern here would be in relation to our salmon and our sea trout, particularly the sea trout, which use tiny, tiny little streams. They're not at all comfortable in situations as juveniles where there's lots of still water. What they need is flowing water. They need flowing water for gravel to spawn in and so on. So our main concern really would be that, given the difficulty we have retaining our salmon and sea trout stocks at the moment, anything that would put blockages in streams could cause a major issue for those particular species.
Well, Derek, can we shift to Scotland? We can't do it here because we never had beavers, and our fauna and flora are geared to not having beavers, and we'll upset everything we bring them in. But in Scotland, where they were traditional, how do you feel about using beavers there or bringing them back, as has been done? Do you think that has been a good idea? Do you think it's fraught with difficulties?
Well, we've just finished, just by chance, we've just finished these last 3 days a conference that I chaired on small streams. We had a very strong representation from Scotland, and unbeknownst to me that the beavers were going to be discussed today on the programme, we had a good debate on Tuesday in relation to beavers at the conference. So situation at the moment in relation to Argyll in particular is that there is quite major concern in relation to the effects that the beavers may have on the salmonids in those areas. Our problem is that certainly in the context of salmon, as we've talked about before, they're under a lot of pressure at the moment. And where they're under pressure, what you don't need is any extra complicating factor. If you have limited biological resources to try and protect and enhance these stocks, and particularly if they're SAC species, I really think that we should try and work with the tools that we have available initially, rather than complicating the situation in terms of bringing in, certainly in our case, exotic species. And I don't think really it would be viable to do that in Ireland.
OK, well, we'll just see if we have a counter-argument to that, Ken, because joining us on the line is a Scottish ecologist based in Devon, Derek Gow. Good afternoon, Derek.
Good afternoon.
Happy St. Andrew's Day, first of all, Derek.
Thank you very much indeed, and the same to you.
Thank you very much indeed. Tell me about your interest in the beaver and perhaps the argument of bringing it to Ireland.
Well, I mean, my interest in the beaver is I have worked with water voles for much of my adult career. The water vole in mainland Britain is Britain's fastest declining mammal. It's an animal which is caricatured by Kenneth Graham in his famous book Wind in the Willows. But it's an animal which ultimately, in a wider riparian, riverine environment, needs a complex of open, sunny pools, stream mosaics, you know, open river banks with plenty of vegetation on them for its survival. It burrows into the banks, it feeds on the vegetation, it uses the vegetation as cover. If we are not chopping down the vegetation, and by we I mean humans, and creating the kind of environment that the water vole needs as an example, then there is no natural process now remaining which does it. And as soon as you start to look at this little animal and you understand its ecology and you understand its habitat requirements, you begin to gain an appreciation that something in the past must have driven its living circumstances. And when you think about that as being pertinent to water voles, and then you consider, you know, perhaps the behavioral requirements of large copper butterflies or bearded tits or a whole host of other species, you begin to realize that the specific environments they require are things that were generated by an older force. And that older force, there's very little doubt that the older force was the European beaver. So that's where my interest in beaver essentially came from. With regard to introducing them to Ireland, as you said, we do not think they were native there. There's no evidence to suggest they were a former native species, but that evidence may still emerge.
And, of course, we had no voles in Ireland, and we have no large copper butterflies, all of the things you mentioned that are associated with those open spaces on the rivers.
Yeah. Sure, but in all fairness, I mean, the fact you don't have them is just down to chance and an ice sheet. You know, if there had been a population of beavers isolated in a pocket in the ice and they'd been able to cross the land bridge, then they would have been there in the same way that wolves were once there. And to suggest the ecology, I'm not about to advocate a case for introducing beavers to Ireland. That would not be something that they would appeal to me, but to suggest the ecology of Ireland is so fundamentally different to that of mainland Britain and that beavers wouldn't adapt and the species that are there, you know, that are already there would not have an ability to adapt to beavers is frankly not the case.
I think there's another point as well. I think that the ice sheet actually gave us, which perhaps it didn't give the landscape in Britain, and that was the fact that we had originally very, very large areas of bog, both blanket bog and raised bog, which acted as fantastic reservoirs in terms of our water, in terms of the slow release. And also our limestone rivers, the valleys of those limestone rivers were fantastic again in terms of water retention and water management. Unfortunately, due to the pressures of agriculture, we have damaged a lot of those resources. And certainly I take your argument that you had on some of your websites in relation to the ability of the beaver to be able to help us to retain and manage water. I'm wholeheartedly behind that concept of managing better. I think actually restoring and repairing some of the natural systems that we had here in our post-glacial landscape, I think would go a long way towards actually substituting for some of the hard armoury that we're already putting into some of our cities and towns.
Well, I think that's absolutely the case. And in all reality, you know, when you actually boil this argument down, and I've had much interaction with anglers and angling organisations, and if you can actually get this whole issue, you know, onto some sort of sensible plane, then, you know, really it boils down to a human ability to manage beavers. There are very few people who are of above average intelligence who would just argue blindly that the beaver is not a positive riparian component, they are. There's little to suggest they're not. There are winners and losers in the, as far as the environments they create are concerned, but overall their presence in a riparian ecosystem is in the northern hemisphere of Europe and North America is beneficial.
Derek, what's the story on them now in Scotland? When were they reintroduced and how have they been doing? Yeah.
There's a trial project in Knapdale and Kintyre. That the licence for that was granted in 2009. There is a population of about 16 animals there. It's not entirely fair of Ken to say that there's huge concern about that project because there is no active salmonid component, you know, of significance on the Kintyre Peninsula. And in all fairness, when you look at the historic netting of fish, you know, out at sea in the estuaries then, and the impact of salmon farms there on wild salmon, then anything a beaver does is not even a drop in the ocean compared to that, as those scenarios as complicatory factors for Atlantic salmon.
And have they
so
been,
on Kintyre, yeah. There's no issue with the conflict with beavers. On the Tay, there is also a population of beavers which have been released, where we now believe over the course of the last 10 years that is large, it's developing, and it's from that population that in time you might see a conflict in salmon spawning areas.
Derek, I think there is one point I think I really must come back to you on. That's the whole question of whether or not they could have an impact on salmon and sea trout populations. Certainly, we have spent the last 5 years developing really very sophisticated genetic technology now that clearly indicates that in context of biodiversity, that individual populations of salmon and sea trout, and I'm talking about relatively small populations, certainly on the west coast and part of the east coast of Scotland and Ireland, these are vitally important in the context of the overall struggle of these fish to try and deal with issues such as climate change. And I think it really is disingenuous to speak about a situation where there are very localised trials going on and to try and then extrapolate from that into a situation where we can even surmise that in the future we could have additional pressures put on those stocks that at the moment are really struggling in some cases to survive.
Sure, but then in all fairness, Ken, what this boils down to is that, you know, you just picked up on one generalisation I've made. I mean, in angling circles, you quite commonly hear this in the written press and in radio programmes and in wider media that, you know, there can be no beavers in the whole of Britain because of an impact that one of them one day might have on a spawning tributary of the Tweed. Now, if we're looking at beaver trials, for example, in sites like, you know, Cornwall or Kintyre or Kent, how realistic is it to oppose those for the wider biodiversity benefits that they're very likely to accrue, you know, on the basis that one day one of them in 500 years' time might cross every intervening catchment that doesn't get to the Tweed? It's simply not realistic. And when we're actually looking at, you know, fish stocks, what we have to bear in mind is that I think you're right. I think there are issues with beaver dams and Atlantic salmon, but I think it's a complex situation and not one we fully understand yet. And therefore, the only way we're going to get some sort of idea as to what the relationship's going to be is to actually look at trials. As far as sea trout and brown trout are concerned, I'm perfectly confident they'll migrate up through the partial structures beavers create, and as will brown trout. And there's ample evidence from continental Europe to suggest that is the case. But then when you look at a wider group of fish species, coarse fish species, eels, a whole host of other species that again interact with beavers, then there's considerable evidence that suggests that the very many different microhabitats that beavers create are, again, from an overall point of view, beneficial as far as they're concerned. So unless we're concerned here about creating, you know, pretty much a management system which is specifically designed, you know, to virtually monoculture and to focus on one species of fish, then, you know, as far as wider biodiversity is concerned, you know, we have a case to put.
I don't think anybody mentioned, but somebody should. And the beaver is, in fact, a vegetarian. He doesn't go around killing fish. Secondly, people say he damages trees. He doesn't really. He cuts down trees, but the trees then start to grow shoots. They become coppiced trees, far richer than the original trees were. Now, there's massive flooding in Europe, and partly that is due to runoff. And if you had beavers acting upstream, then you would have a landscape which retained water better. It would retain retain water during drought, it would retain water during excessive rainfall, reduce flooding and provide water during... They are beneficial in general, have been so in Sweden and Nordic countries at any rate where this has been studied extensively.
Marty, just to mention one other thing, that in the context of the Irish situation, what we heard during the week at our small streams conference was that in the context of the tiny streams, the ones that don't even bear fish can hold as much as 30% of our biodiversity for those small streams. They are totally dependent on running water, those particular fauna.
Derek, you have 30 seconds to persuade us to have beavers in Ireland.
Well, I'm not going to try to persuade you to have beavers in Ireland, but I am going to try to persuade you to give a reasonable hearing to this cause. I mean, as you just made the point with regard to water retention, is that beavers are water gardeners. By creating dams, they create wetlands. By creating wetlands, they trap silt, nutrients, phosphates, and they also play a significant role in slowing and absorbing flood runoff. We already have evidence from this in Belgium. They could be a partial solution in some catchments to some of the awful situations we've seen in Britain over the course of the last week, where unrestricted runoff due to agricultural canalisation is causing significant problems for people now in villages lower down in catchments.
Well, Derek, because today is St Andrew's Day and you're from Dundee originally, we're going to leave the last word to you. Derek Goff, Scottish ecologist based in Devon, thank you very much indeed. Loads of texts coming in, reference the beavers. If you introduce an entirely new species to an ecosystem, you can have no idea precisely what the effects will be. When wolves were reintroduced to Yellowstone, rare riverside plants and trees recovered. But there could be just such effects. But negatively, by introducing a completely new species to any environment, it's arrogant to assume we can predict the result. That comes in from Sam Collier.
Nobody was saying that we should reintroduce it to Ireland, to be fair. Now, nobody wanted that.
Beavers are destroying Patagonia. No predators there. Therefore, nothing will stop them. That comes in from Yevia from Argentina.